Deadlands Tales from the Shattered Coast continues with part 2 to session 31. The players were Sharon, Richard, Jameis, and Chris. We stopped abruptly last episode, so this one picks right up. Enjoy the show, session 31, part 2.
Dr. Pond.
So you were just going to push through the guys that are in front of the place to go in?
Yes.
Okay, well, they let you. Apparently they weren't told to keep women out.
I was going to say, well, I think we're all trying to go in.
All right. They move aside. I mean, they look kind of wary, but they don't try and stop you. All right, push in. So you all come in, and during that awkward silence right after the guy said, well, maybe we'll just take what we need.
Yes. Dr. Pond, is there a problem here?
He looks up kind of sharply and then sees, who you guys walking in. And he looks a little relieved. He says, this person is trying to acquire goods from our community that I don't wish to sell him. And the man says, I offered to pay at first. The guy you see is, once again, he's kind of dressed like maybe a rail worker, perhaps a little bit more well-to-do. I mean, his clothes are certainly of that sort. He's, middle-aged man in good shape, dark hair. He's got these little pinched glasses on the end of his nose as he looks at you guys coming in.
Uh-huh. Okay. And he's just a railway worker. Does he look like he's wearing an insignia of any particular railway?
He is. Give me a general knowledge roll.
Okay. All right. That'd be just smarts?
Yeah, it's just smarts. With no negative. Just a smarts roll.
I know nothing.
Okay. Everyone else who just pushed in can, actually, Young, you would have no idea. I won't even let you roll. either with Wumatai. Yeah, actually, sir, you're the only one here that would have any idea. Yes, there's some insignia. It's of a railway. You're not sure which. It just was not something that you paid a lot of attention to.
I'm gonna ask him. It's like, which railway do you represent, sir?
It seems like he just takes note that you're a lady, and he takes his hat off, and he bows to you. He says, I am Beauregard of the Union Blue. I'm pleased to meet your acquaintance.
I'm pleased to meet your acquaintance too, sir, but, if the man does not wish to sell you his goods, there is, he does not have to.
I don't see why my money spends any less than anyone else's.
Oh,
perhaps, and he looks very sharply at the doctor, or perhaps you're looking to be taken over by the Confederacy.
It's not that your money spends any less than anyone else's. It's that no one's money really spends here. Now, perhaps if you were to, maybe make an investment in the community. They do, they're trying to keep out of things, and if they sell to you, then everybody else is going to ask as well, so I can definitely see the man's point.
My men are starving. We need supplies. We need food. This is the closest town. We can go to Shannonsburg, but that would be a reduction in my forces. For longer than I wish to leave.
Sorry, Shannonsburg, which is merely a couple of hours away and sells food for reduced prices?
Yes, it's more the distance, you see.
My apologies. Sorry. Sarah, please go.
Oh, no, please. Please, no, that is correct. It's, so basically what you're saying is your men are starving, right?
We are provisionally impoverished. Impoverished right now, yes.
So, what if the good doctor here were to sell you enough food for you to get to Shannonsburg, where you can purchase additional supplies.
Now, ma'am, that just won't work. I can't spare the men to go to Shannonsburg. Elsetown's the closest place. Now, if someone were willing to go to Shannonsburg and bring us back food, and thereby cutting out the doctor and his town here from any repercussions, I'd be more than happy to pay those people. For the trip, of course. Would you be interested in that? You and your friends.
Dr. Pond, would that be...
He contemplates this for a moment. He says, well, yes, as long as the food is delivered to them and the town has nothing to do with it, I don't see why that would be a problem. He looks at you just kind of lost, and he's like, I just don't want a bloodbath to happen here. We're scientists. Scientists, we don't fight. We don't like bullets flying around. Well, that's not true. Mr. Emery's got a really fabulous bullet thrower. I'm digressing.
Yes, so, let's see. Is it possible, Dr. Pond, to hire a couple of men to head off to Shannonsburg and purchase food and bring it back here for them? Or have it delivered to them?
Says, well, if anyone in the town were to do that, I'd have to do that for everyone else. You realize that. And the man in front of him nods and says, I don't like it, but I see the point. Well,
you wouldn't have to do this. These men would not be working on behalf of Elspeth Town. They would be independent contractors, so to speak, merely facilitating a trade to avoid any unpleasantries.
Yes, perhaps if we made an announcement in the town square so that there is less unpleasantness.
I think that would be good.
He looks over to the guy who, he looks a little irked for a moment, and he says, yes, well, all that's important is that my men get food. However that happens, it makes no difference. All right. This is as good a time as any. I've got just a thing. He comes out with, it's a bullhorn. And he lights a little tank on it, and you hear the little whoosh of ghost rock being burned as he takes out this megaphone, and he steps out onto the street and talks into it, and his voice is amplified to very large levels. Excuse me! It booms through the town. Can you hear me? Is this thing on? It seems to catch everyone's attention. It says, everyone here who's looking for provisions for your little private war out on the plains, we cannot help you. And there's some hard looks at him as he's saying this. Some of the men who are armed look to be reaching for their guns. Says, my friends here, the town's friends, these friends, he pushes the three of you forward, have come up with an amenable agreement that I believe you should all take advantage of. They have agreed to go to Shannonsburg and to purchase provisions that can be delivered to each and all of you outside of this town. The town has nothing to do with this. We're not providing anything. These folks here, right here. And he's stepping back so that you guys are kind of standing forward.
I step to the side as I have absolutely no intention of going out.
I step to the side. I cannot be traveling back immediately. I have some personal business with you, Dr. Pond.
If you will each send one representative over to the lab, I will take the needed recompensation, and of course they'll need to be remunerated for their services. And we can do this very, very civilly, with no gunplay. If you will all just retreat out of town, leave behind one spokesperson, please. One spokesperson. Luke, yes, it does have a telegram. All right, so let's see. The doctor here is not all that persuasive, but yeah. All right, well, people seem to be grudgingly packing it up. Your Union Blue guys is remaining here, and three other men walk up. One of them is wearing the uniform from the Confederate. Another one is also looks like he may be from a rail company. Doesn't have a logo, though. And the last guy is definitely a prospector. So they step forward. Oh, no. Okay. All of you, go inside. Go inside. We will come up with some equitable way to do this. I just need to have a discussion here. And as they walk past him, kind of staring daggers at his back, he mouths the word to you, Sharon. Help me. About this time, Luke and Eddie come riding into town. You guys are watching as a bunch of very hard-looking men are kind of leaving town, going out into the desert.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do the head touch thing. This is the past problem.
A couple of them spit tobacco juice in your general direction.
Because okay. I'm mostly wearing a hat. I'm wearing goggles on my hat. That's why.
All right. Well, Zhong, you need to stay here.
Oh, that's right. Hold on a second. Eddie's wanted. See if anybody recognizes Eddie.
Ooh. Ooh.
Somebody gives you a long, hard stare as he goes by, Eddie. You notice his uniform.
Do I recognize anybody?
Oh, wow. We can barely hear you there, Chris. So you asked, do you recognize the person? Go ahead. Give me a notice roll. Vaguely, you might have served alongside him. You can't place his name, but the face looks a little familiar.
I'm going to pretend like I didn't even notice him.
All right. Pretend like you didn't notice him. Yes. I'm not sure what you're doing with your microphone there, but it does not sound fun. All right. Okay, so you guys write in. So Pond has got these guys in his back office, and he's staring at you, imploringly at you, Sarah. Help.
Oh, we don't actually know where they are, then, if they're inside.
Well, no, Sarah and Young and Weimatai are standing outside with Dr. Pond.
I pat Dr. Pond on the arm very reassuringly. My best bedside manner. Okay. And then I go in. Young, you're going to need to stay. You're going to need to stay here. In Elspeth Town.
I will be looking out for our friend, yes.
All right,
yes.
So what happens, just as you're saying this, is there's a crack and peal of thunder. And unfortunately, since you rolled double ones, Chin is strolling into town with the stagecoach driver in his arms, who looks to be breathing, but not in very good shape. And... yes, Chin did not make the grand entrance he hoped to make. So he walks into the middle of the town that's now mostly empty, except for you guys standing out here. Dr. Pond is standing out here as well. And he speaks out in very poor English. He says, I wish to talk to your chief, your big person.
This is the reason we came back.
Dr. Pond smacks his head. Oh, God, what now? What now?
Young, you please take Dr. Pond and deal with this. I'll deal with the gentleman inside.
That's one of the guys that has been attacking our caravans.
He will not be attacking them anymore. Please come with me.
Some days it doesn't pay to wake up. All right, yeah, he'll walk out there with you.
It pays to wake up every day. The day you do not wake up is a sad day indeed.
Perhaps I can make a device where I never have to sleep. All right, so Luke and Eddie, you can tether your horses. Yep. You can choose which direction you're going. It looks like the party is just split. Weematai just standing in the middle of the street. She's not going to either side.
Up at the end, Weematai. What's going on here?
Yes, she will fill everyone in. She will give you the blah.
Right.
All right, Eddie, so you suspect there might be more of the CSA troops inside, so if you want to stay out here or head on over with Young, that would probably be safest for you. Okay, we've lost Chris on voice, so I am now just reading out what he is saying in the chat window. Luke, what are you doing, Luke?
I'm going to go with Sierra, because it sounds like it's...
Okay.
An easier situation to deal with, an Irish might be able to help, so. Chinese, not so much.
All right. Okay, so you guys break into two groups. Weematai is just going to...
Split the party!
Yeah. Weematai is simply going to tend the horses. Okay. All right, Young, you approach. Chin is... Well, he's moving towards your group, seeing as you're really the only people out and about. And he's repeating to you, assuming Dr. Pond.
Chinese.
Okay.
This is the man you wish to talk to. Anything you wish to say, I can translate for you.
Okay. Give me an untrained role. You can do it with... this is a social.
This is a persuasion roll.
Yeah, persuasion roll. Untrained, but you can still take it with the minus two since you're at least speaking his language.
No, I'll make the roll.
Oh, okay. Right.
Barely.
He nods and says, oh, good, good. A translator would be excellent for this. You speak their language well?
Yes.
I would have your name?
Jean-Jean-Lou.
Jean-Jean-Lou. Ah, Lou of the... And, you know, he rattles off a very long lineage. How well does Lou know his family?
Not particularly well. I mean, he thinks there's a dragon somewhere in his lineage. So.
Okay. You may have caught one familiar... personages in the pedigree he's laying out. You think that maybe he just made a reference to a great grandfather?
I bow. I say I, and then I bow.
All right. Oh, yes. Noble lineage. Strength of the dragon in that one. And he says, yes, please translate for me, my apologies. And he kneels down in the dirt. He's still holding the man. And he kind of just effortlessly, now remember, this is not really a terribly young man. Chin is not terribly young. But he kind of effortlessly just holds the broken body of the stagecoach driver out in front of him as he's kneeling down in the dust. And he begins to recite his lineage, who he is. This goes on for a while. And says, humbly bring myself before your laws, as I have committed a wrong to this man and to your village. He explains what happened in his out in the wilderness, how this came to be, that he was trying to excise the curse upon the land, and by that he means the science, the technology. And in so doing, he has caused great harm to this one.
I will not translate that as the science of the community. I will translate as the ghost rock of the and its influence, rather than the science.
And then he gives, he says, the man hangs on to life. He fights hard to remain with us. I can make this to be so, but he will be crippled for his days. His mind will be sound, but to live such, I cannot make the decision to do this, if this man has family, if someone can speak for him, as he cannot speak for himself now, to make this decision.
So
we'll call him Stephen
Hawking. Yeah, that's just what I was going to say. Damn you, James, typing quicker.
All right, so the professor takes a good look at the guy. He says, "Oh, that's Mr. Hawking." And he says, "Well, he doesn't have a family, but as his employer, I suppose I could make a decision for the man." This is not good.
Has he ever expressed any interest in bettering himself through technology?
Well, of course, he wouldn't be in our town if he didn't. Oh, you know, I could make him new legs, perhaps some arms, and maybe if we cut right there and I attach to his spine, this has so many.
So long as you are making the decision that he would make and not the one that you wish to make.
He gets a glint in his eye, and he's like, I suppose I'm not a neutral party in this. I see what you mean here. Yes, yes. He strokes his chin. I think maybe there's a sister in town. Perhaps a relation would be best able to make the determination. Although, why anyone wouldn't want a new spine and legs?
Oh, perhaps we should have gone with Octo Octavius.
Oh, yes, Jenny! He screeches, and a young woman comes running out. Yes, doctor. Go find Mr. Hawking's sister, I believe. And she's more with it. She is, yes, he has a sister. She works at the general store. I'll go. Is she alive? The doctor says, yes, and soon to be better than he was ever before. Go get his sister. All right, she runs off. And he says, what is this man asking?
He believes he committed a crime in injuring this man. He's submitting to justice. His honor makes him so. The attacks will stop after this. He did not mean to cause death. He just had no method of communicating with you the harm that he believes the Ghost Rock is doing. By stopping the spread of it, he wished to halt its effect on the rest of the world.
He looks horrified. But it's a miracle substance. It has so many uses. How could it be wrong? How could it be wrong? Obviously, this man has been misled in some way. the law must get involved, of course. If Mr. Hawking is to come to himself, he will... I suppose it will be up to Mr. Hawking whether charges are pressed. He is a member of my community, though, so I believe that, we don't really have a jail here. We'd have to send him to Shannon's... Oh, you said he is a man of honor?
He is, yes.
Would he submit to staying in a room until we can figure this out? It's not the best I can do for a jail cell.
I believe if this were explained to him, he would, yes.
Yes, yes. Well, of course, we will care for Mr. Hawkins here. If you will please direct him, here. This is my home. He points out, three blocks down, that home right there with the white... picket fence made of jagged bits of iron, and just tell him to make himself at home, lay Mr. Hawking down in one of the bedrooms. We will have his sister go there shortly. Tell him, please do not leave the home. Consider himself to be under... Do people have a word for arrest? Do you do that?
We have the word arrest.
Oh, yes. Good, good, good. Until we get this sorted out, we may have to call for a magistrate. It depends on what Mr. Hawking wishes. Yes, yes. And then there's the whole matter of how much they've destroyed. There was a real financial loss there. This set back our timetable for months.
That is
That is a problem for another day.
Yes, yes. Alright, so...
I will espouse the fact that we were there and our doctor said he was dead. And then they said, hey, I can save him. And he's not quite so dead now.
Okay.
It says a lot about the doctor.
Yeah. Well, he ain't moving much. I mean, you can tell the man's breathing, but no, outside of that,
he's more alive than he was. So, yeah. Anyway, I tell Chen what is going on and send him off.
All right.
There you go. Ahead.
All right. Yeah, he will accede to whatever might befall him. So he goes. All right. So inside. Sarah, you walk into a table full of four men staring very hard at one another, knives on the table, everyone inconspicuously cleaning their fingernails with their knives.
Okay, gentlemen, let's make this brief and civilized. Okay, you make us a list of what you need. Okay. You make us a list of what you need, provide the funds, we will get it from Shannonsburg, and then have it delivered to you. And the fee that would be charged just be the cost of a day's work for the people retrieving it.
All right. Give me a persuasion roll. How you come across to them.
Can you get the social character to do the talking for a change?
Right, yeah. They kind of grudgingly accept this. They're like, one of them says, my men are hungry today. How long will this take? A couple more of them nod.
But it's early. It's fairly early in the morning, correct?
Yes.
It's we can
first light.
Okay. We could be back with at least a load of food for all of you before nightfall.
Right. One of them says, we're running shy of bullets. And everyone else looks really hard at him. one of the others speaks out. One of the guy looks like he's a miner, says, you aim to arm us all too?
The ammunition might take longer, but if you're starving, the food is critical, and we're prioritizing that.
Right. The guy that just talked, and Beauregard, the guy that you were talking to earlier in here with Dr. Pond, both say, we'll agree to the food, but if you start bringing ammunition to anybody, that don't suit, you know, both of them are like, you know, that doesn't suit us.
Okay, well, food it is. If you want to get ammo, then you're going to have to ride into Shannonsburg yourself.
They both smile. The other two look a little not so happy with things.
Luke will arrive at some point.
Yeah, Luke, you could have walked in right behind her when she started this.
And we could always talk to people in Shannonsburg and see if they're willing to set out some kind of outpost out here to do deliveries to people and such, if this is the main contact point. And you can just arrange with them. This is just a temporary measure we're willing to do for you for now, and longer term, things can be set up with people more permanent in the area.
Yeah.
Beauregard says, seems to me that feeding a man is one thing. I can't countenance anyone starving, but seems our whole disagreement will be over with sooner when some of us run out of bullets. The two guys that were earlier looking for ammunition looked very, very hard at him. So, while I will agree to food and perhaps any medical attention that your men might need, if anyone tries to arm you, I will do my best to make sure that doesn't happen. And he smiles.
to do something right now.
Well, you're in there. What are you going to do, Luke?
Yeah. Oh, I am so tempted. What the hell? What's the point of having skills if you're not going to use them untrained? I pull out the... I can't remember what it is. What group is? The Pinkerton badge that I got back up from up north.
All right.
And the guy said, if anyone starts shooting anyone else, there will be some major interesting taking place in who starts. And we don't want to have any of that now, do we?
That was the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, the Rangers.
Oh, Texas Ranger badge. I thought it was a Pinkerton badge. Okay, so it's a Texas South Ranger badge.
Jeez, man.
Yep. The people that understand what that badge is, you know, will kind of, you know, why is a ranger interested in this? But the other ones say, you got no authority in this. This California, this area hasn't claimed for either side. This is disputed territory. And the one that really, you know, just knows about the Texas Rangers kind of looks at you and says, why would you be interested? It's just a load of ghost rock. Somebody murmurs in the background, damn, largest load of ghost rock I've seen on land.
We're more interested in keeping the peace than anything else. And this here has got a potentiality for conflict of a rather large scale, as has been mentioned over there. I nod towards the person who whispered under their breath. We just want to make sure that everyone here acts peaceful-like and doesn't get into the head to go down shooting people, like some darn fools that they are.
Well, they don't leave us a lot of choice. You're going to undeclare and not decide what side you're shooting for. Makes it a little difficult for people to decide who owns what now, doesn't it?
Yes, but, gentlemen, this talk right here is not really... That's beyond the scope of this meeting. This meeting is basically to arrange to make sure that nobody sits out there and starves to death. So, if you don't mind, I'll get started rounding up people, and if you can get started on the list of what kind of provisions you need, we can start getting those getting food to you. As far as who owns what, and who has how many bullets or whatever, I hate to be a little callous, but that's kind of on y'all.
Yeah, I'll be happy to make sure nothing happens right here, right now, but the longer term things, as you say, I don't have a full stake in the matter out here, but I'm just going to make sure none of you fools go around doing anything stupid right now.
I love how there are sirens in the background when you're speaking from the authority of a Texas Ranger. So you're trying to, you're lying. You're trying to.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So I need a roll.
Through my teeth, man. Through my teeth. Okay, unskilled.
If you flub this, I'm going to say somebody recognizes the name of the badge.
I do have a card ace, which you've rolled. Yep.
All right. So three. So you didn't botch it, but you did not succeed either. So are you going to keep that, or do you want to do something about it?
Let's see. How much do I actually care? I'll just try a reroll. What the hell? A reroll. This will be it. Oh, there we go.
Oh, nice. Okay. All right. All right, so what happens in Sarah is everybody basically starts making you a list. And you know, depending on what you ask for, they'll either leave you with gold or they'll leave you with ghost rock weighed out.
Okay.
It's fairly modest. I mean, they're not asking for any lot about the coffee and sugar, about the only two major luxuries on there. Otherwise, it's just flour, good water,
Okay.
Some meat here and there. So, yeah, okay, you got a shopping list.
Yep.
Collected some money. Everybody starts to pile out. And this prospector kind of stays behind for a bit. He doesn't stay, no one wants anyone to get, a better deal with you. So they're not letting him stay behind. So what will happen is Luke... once you leave the building, he's gonna get a hold of you. So everyone's left. Everyone's left for now.
Yeah.
So Sarah, you've got a list. You've got some money.
Okay.
All right. So.
All right. Okay. Probably the easiest way is to. Probably the easiest way is for just me and Wimitai to go out there and hire a couple of wagons and just bring it back.
Okay. Fair enough. So when you step out, just speak to Wimitai and get this going. Prospector is kind of waiting around in the street, and when you come out, Luke, he kind of motions you over to him. You know, he's He's trying to make himself not as conspicuous to the other passerbys. You know, he's sitting outside of a general store. He's having some beverage.
Fine. And I've got a much stupider way of getting the food there, to get there and back with the food there. So, Sharon, just before we go too far with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Also, yeah, I'll sidle over to the. I'll sidle casually over to where the prospector is.
Yeah, he orders a drink for you as well. Yeah. Coffee. First time of morning. It's always coffee. He says, let me tell you a story. So I had a brother once. He's passed on. Robert, he's a younger brother of mine. We lived out in a rural part in the east, had a nice little piece of land before I came out here looking to make my fortunes. And Robert was taken from us one night, and I saw is what did it. Some men came into town telling me I didn't see what I saw, but asking me questions about it all the same. A couple days later, one of you folks showed up, asking more questions, but telling me a little bit more than maybe they intended to at the same time. And over time, not that I've had a grudge against you all, but wanting to know more about what happened to my brother, I kind of pieced together that you all are in the habit of dealing with things that ain't so right.
Yeah, there's a few of us groups around that try and keep an eye out for that sort of thing.
Well, you're here, flashing that badge around.
Yep.
You gotta be here for a reason, I'm thinking. You know, and he winks and points out where all the other guys are kind of heading out for. What we was fighting over, one of them things maybe you'd be interested in.
Yeah, we're interested in all sorts of things. What have you got in mind?
He says, I don't know, it's just a feeling. I mean, it's a load of ghost rock to be sure, and now
it's
large, but it seems to make a man desire it more than it ought to. It's just a feeling I have. I tried to talk to some of my men about it, and looking like maybe I was too far in my cups, but Ma raised a rational kid. Tried to know my own mind, and well, I seem to think that I haven't been much in my own mind lately. Like, something's really eating at me, making me want that rock more and more every day. Like, I gotta have it. Like, nothing else really matters.
Luke looks interested in this.
Now, when I get away from it, we're coming to Ellsworth Town now and then, looking to get what provisions we can, and your mayor there, been pretty politic about not selling to any of us, but we've all gotten to the point now where we need food, if not more guns and bullets, and if not, we're going to starve. And that, to me, speaks more strongly than anything else that a man's willing to starve and get this pile of rock. Mine gets a little clearer when I come out here, but we got men back there that I'm not willing just to leave, and they're not willing to leave it. Of course, when I go back, the closer I get, the more my thoughts turn to it. And I don't want to leave it either.
It does indeed sound like something we should be taking a look at.
Such a matter.
Do you know, is there a particular center for this feeling? Or I don't know this area particularly well, so I'll just get a bit of a lay of the land from you.
Yeah, well, you know, he basically dead-eyes it for you. Know, if you follow the noonday sun in that direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple hours. You get to a piece of broken land, a bunch of rocks sitting up out of the ground in odd angles. Quite pretty, really. At least I used to think so. Better mind, I still think so. Here tells about that it used to be area Indian burial ground up there.
That's the area towards where I wasn't getting recognized. Yeah. I've heard a few things about that area. It's not got the best of reputations.
Thing is, even if you wanted to look at it, and he takes a sip of his coffee, while I'm in my better mind now, ain't nobody in their better mind out there. Any side, including mine, is is going to assume that you're working for the other sides.
Hmm.
So, don't know how's man supposed to get up there to look into such things without getting shot.
Or ending up wanting it for himself. Could maybe. Be. Yeah.
Maybe. I thought I'd get you a warning.
Oh, thank you for that, Mr.
And sticks his hand forward. Says, call me Lewis. I'd be glad to shake your hand here for what your kind said to me when my brother went missing. And that you were willing to tell me a little bit of the truth. So I owe you something. But if you happen to visit the grounds, I can't say that I wouldn't put a bullet in your back. And I'm going to say my apologies for it now if it happens.
Say, listen, thank you very much. Shake his hand. Was there actually a name on the badge? I thought the badge didn't have a name on it. I just like had a number.
Yeah, it's got a number.
Yeah. Okay. Call me Luke. I'm sure you'll recognize me if I'm out there, and if you are in your right mind, hopefully it won't come to that.
Finishes coffee, tips his hat to you, and says, hope I don't kill you, Luke. Hope I don't kill you.
All right. That's always a good way to end the conversation, isn't it?
That there's a California goodbye.
Right.
All right, so we'll cut Luke, or not Luke, Young. You brought Chin over to the professor's place. Nice looking place. Man doesn't clean as often as he probably should. But you managed to find a bedroom that hasn't been used much and is clean enough to put the wounded man down on. And not too much later, the man's sister comes in and basically runs to his side and tries to talk to him. Of course, you know, there's no response. He's breathing. But, you know, she tries to grip his hand and there's no response. He doesn't answer. And, you know, so she's crying. And Chen's just looking really, you know, looking kind of out of sorts and doesn't trust himself to speak. Eventually, she looks around, the room. So let's see who else went with you. It was, Eddie. Eddie went because he didn't want to go in the room with the, Confederates. She looks at you, Eddie, assuming you're the only one that speaks her language in this room. what happened to my brother? Why isn't he talking? Can you hear us, Chris? Okay, here we go. Oh, I see. Eddie actually is going to go with supply people as he wants to get out of town.
Yeah.
All right. Good enough. I guess he's, she's talking to the general room then. Two Chinamen in here. Are you trying to help him? Are you doctors?
I am not. He was on the coach which left. Yesterday, that was attacked. This man attacked the coach. He did not mean to cause what happened here and has submitted to justice. Without this man's assistance, your brother would be dead now.
Okay, make me a persuasion roll. For as much talking as Young does, he should buy some persuasion.
He's too busy trying to become a dragon.
Yeah, I'll just breathe fire on anybody.
Yeah, unfortunately, you don't get the +2 this time because.
No, because obviously it's.
Yeah. I think, do you want a twister kill card?
That's what I was thinking, yeah. Sure, if somebody has that.
Yep, that's me. There's my cards. Nice. Just a couple. There we are.
Yes, I apparently have washed some of the trowel dust.
You could use ace.
Yeah, I could have done, but I suspect more than one roll to go.
So
yeah.
All right. So this gives plus four to your charisma. All right.
Which means that persuasion roll is now at +2. Thank you, unskilled roll.
Oh, okay.
Well, 7.
You make it. Okay. So she's, you know, she obviously is furious, but she's listening. She's like, "So what?"
Your brother was dead. A doctor examined him at the scene. This man has brought him back to a semblance of life. He is there. He just cannot communicate with us. We need your decision on what your brother would want.
What do you mean, what he'd want? You can bring him back?
The scientists have talked about possibly being able to help him with their technology. Would your brother want this? Or do we send him on to the other world?
Well, how will he be? Will he be himself? And she's just kind of cleaning things off.
I don't know how much there is there, so I talked to Sharon about this. How much? Right. How is he? Is he just there but not talking? Or?
Yes, he says, "Well, my medicines can bring him back so that his mind will be there. He'll be able to talk. He may have use of his hands, but certainly not his legs. Some men would not wish to live this way."
Then why have we not brought him back and asked him?
Would it be more cruel then to bring him back when he may have wished to be let go? Once I brought him back, the decision is made.
No, once you have brought it back, he can make the decision.
Would that not be, what is the word they use, suicide? I know something of their religion. He may curse me further for having done it when I could have let him die. Which is why I brought him here.
Huh.
Perhaps he does not follow this religion.
I will.
Perhaps.
White people are stupid. What do they know?
All right, well, I will explain this to her. He can be brought back. Blah, blah, blah.
She thinks about it for actually maybe longer than Young might have expected, and says, "Well, I don't know that that he'll think kindly of me for it, but if there's life, there's always a chance, right?" And she looks kind of pleadingly at you.
Oh, damn, I didn't open my crappy Word document of Chinese quotes. So, yeah, I will just nod at her then.
Or perhaps he's now writing into his document of crappy Chinese. Oh, that's a good one. All right. All right, so you nod?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So she was trying to find some strength in making the decision, and, like, you know, your doing so seems to have, you know, given her a little bit of something. And she says, "Well, he may curse my name for it, and certainly yours, but if he's alive, at least maybe. I mean, the folk here, that's what they're all about, right? Trying to make lives better for everybody."
She works here when she's saying that?
Indeed, a single spark can set a prairie on fire.
Yeah. Oh, she likes that one. Yeah, she likes that one. Especially since you rolled that 7. She's like, yeah. There's always hope. Surely the scientists here will be able to fix him.
Burn everything down. That's the way to go.
And so she says, "Yes, bring him back. Bring him back as best as you can."
I will.
Shin ask of you a further favor. He says, I will need some things. I will need clean water. If the water here is not so clean, which I suspect, it will need to be boiled. I will need clean cloths. He names some mundane things that he'll need.
I tell the person who runs the general store,
yes,
who is sitting here with us, "Hey, sounds like we need these
things.
Here's
a list. Get these things.
Can you help us? Where can I go to get them?" No, I will go and get them. I will leave her with her brother, because I think
Not exactly sure why it wants a pound of Crisco oil, but...
And any books you have on dragons.
That's of the most important. Okay, so, alright, you run out of the room, leaving her there with her brother and Shin, who's apparently keeping him alive to this point. So, yeah, he can't leave. Okay, so, Luke, you had another idea for the goods.
Yeah, since we're here in this fancy-looking town with some really nice-looking technology, do they have anything that goes, say, a bit quicker than a horse?
They've got steam wagons!
Yeah, can we bring ourselves a steam wagon?
Yep.
That's all, I can drive it.
Okay. That works for me, that'll move faster.
Yep.
All right, sure. Yeah, he'll let you loan the steam wagon, no problem. Yeah, they'll get the boiler all set up for you. It's a quick run to Shannonsburg, even quicker with the steam wagon. So, sure, no problem. So, Eddie is going to be shotgun, apparently. Luke, you have drive, right?
Yes, I have drive. Well,
good enough. Once the professor shows you where all the gears are and everything, you catch on quick enough that he feels pretty good about sending you along with it. So, Eddie's going with you. Shara?
Yes.
Are you going or are you staying?
Let's see, you know what? I can trust you two. You two can go and get the...
You can trust us, really? I don't trust us and I'm going.
Do you need me to go along with you?
See, we've got to go talk to provisions people, and I'm sure how hard could that be?
I'll go with you.
Okay. All right, and Weimatai?
She doesn't really just like the contraption, so...
No, I was going to say, probably doesn't want anything to do with it.
She's braver than a lot of her kin. She will go on a train and other things, but that's a bit much. That's a bit scary.
Yeah.
Once they start the Ghost Rock furnace up and you hear the wailing, like, no.
I just didn't think so.
Yeah. No, I don't either, but you know, I had to ask.
So you guys are off. Give me a driving roll. Let's just see if you
run. I could ace this with the card, but it's more fun to make a roll.
Unfortunately, you drive it just fine to Shannonsburg.
Yeah. Don't get a raise or anything.
All right.
But I do have my A school does give me +2 to driving, so yeah.
You're loving it. You coax a little bit more power and speed out of it. Luke is doing just fine since Luke has goggles. Everyone else is getting bug splatter in the face and dust everywhere.
This is why Luke has goggles.
Yes. All right. So just to make, get everything back together, what happens is Shin will, in fact, let's see how he does. There's a lot of chances he's going to fail this, but...
Shin will kill him where he stands by mistake.
Oh, with a raise.
Yep. Yeah, he'll do it with the raise. So actually, what will happen is that Mr. Hawkins will come back. He'll have the use of his hands, basically paralyzed just from the hip down. And he's going to be wearing a neck brace for a while. So this basically takes all night. Actually, you expect him to be doing, maybe some foo magic there. Young, you're actually really surprised when he breaks out, scalpels and does what is essentially surgery. Although he's doing chanting and, you see the telltale sign of chi power once in a while there as well.
You'd think they'd drag Weimatai into this.
I'm surprised she isn't, actually.
She's a healer. She'd be interested.
Yeah, she's a healer, and I just think what her skills are, so yeah.
At what he's doing, but...
Well, Sarah would be interested in this. She's more interested in maintaining the peace right now, and making sure these...
I will also be telling the other PCs, including Weimatai, as when the Charter rises about what I was told about the ghost rock influencing people's minds. And we may need tinfoil hats or something.
So yeah, he's breathing normally. He can respond some, very tired. Chin tells you that he's going to need to sleep for several days. And at some point the, mayor will come in, and we'll say, well, we'll send out a telegram in the morning to see if we can't get us, a judge down here, and, we'll see what Mr. Hawkins has to say, and, we'll give your man here a fair trial if that's what needs to be done. That's the best I can do. I know that you're speaking for this here man. He's talking to you, young. But it seems to me that if he wants to put himself up to our laws, and well, I guess we ought to do it proper then.
Yes. He looks up, Jean-Louis looks up confused. Yes.
Well, we'll, I can at least say that, since we are a community of scientists, we are a bit more open-minded than most folks. Perhaps, this will enable your friend here to have an easier time at trial and, well, you know, up to this point, he's damaged a lot of our goods and hampered science. But, well, he does some truly remarkable things, and I would like to... Oh, no, I suppose one can't dissect a living being. But, he thinks for a moment. Oh, but if he was hung? No. He will get a fair trial in this town, perhaps fairer than most. Of course, depending on what Mr. Hawkins here has to say as well... I think the best thing that we can do to honor your friend's great show of character is to have us a judge show up and do things as proper as we can. You can remain here as guests of my home. We'll call this the impromptu jail. Your friend there seems to be a man of his word, so I have no doubt that he will comport himself well. Feel free. This bedroom will do just fine. Just fine. Perhaps I should get some linen service in here. Don't mind the food on the table. It's only been there for a week or two. It will clean up just fine. Yes. I've got some work to do. Work. Yes. Pneumatic legs. Enjoy.
All around as if the. Sister is still here. She's taking it from that sort of.
Yeah, she was privy to the conversation. He had it in the room with everybody.
Look at her and shrug.
She's looking a bit more fearful about her brother's problems. all right, so a few hours after this, Shara, you guys will get back into town, loaded up with provisions. I'm going to assume Sarah did the haggling, so we'll say things went fine there. Shannonsburg actually had good prices, so you're actually able to get a few extra things, perhaps more than they wanted, since you're sure not going to give any money back. A few extra food items, some medical items, maybe.
Some, but, only with about half of the excess.
Yep. You got to pocket the rest?
Yeah. We are going to get some payment out of this.
All right. go ahead and make me a roll then. There's not really a barter skill, so probably persuasion is going to be the closest thing. Just yeah, make me a roll. And 11. Okay, so you come out $110 ahead.
Okay.
Not bad.
Okay.
All right, so everybody's back in town. You've got your load, food and sundries. It's getting on till evening at this point.
I do want to talk with Dr. Pond about hiring some of his scientists to make those revisions to those goggles.
Well, of course, being a stakeholder of this particular patent, we of course listen to your suggestions. Oh my! As he looks at your schematics. Have you thought of perhaps about, you know, we've got several acres of land here, and it's really a nice community. These are, my.
Well, I like the zooming XP. I'm not sure that the laser is entirely necessary.
No, but I want to make those revisions and take out a patent with the revised revisions on them and make sure I own it and then try to...
Well, you're a stakeholder in it. I mean, yeah. These were someone else's, designs to begin with, but, you know, you're, of course, these are excellent revisions. You're a doctor of medicine, you said, yes?
Oh, yes.
Oh, shame. Such a shame. Oh. Right. Yes. Okay, so you get that all squared away. So eventually you guys will all get back together for the evening to make your plans and to talk your talk.
Yep.
And the doctor will send off a telegram to get a judge in here at soonest possibility. Luke or Young probably doesn't know this, but the rest of you out here in California, there's a circuit system where a judge will go from town to town, and so it could be many months before you actually get a judge to come through. So a lot of times this is why the communities had their own justice.
Yep.
Well, I will illuminate everybody about what has happened there and what is going on, blah.
I said I'd blar about the Ghost Rock influence, which is out there. Oh, yeah, and that's where another one of the Earth signs are, by the way.
You're feeling better now?
Yeah. Well, today's a good day.
I wink at him, knowing that it was obviously my letter, which helped him
get better. I know. That's all right. I assume you're going to bring that up, don't worry.
Yep.
How's Young's penmanship? Maybe it said goat and not girl when you reread that letter.
It said dragon.
Cheer anyone up.
Yeah. If we do want to think about covers and stuff for getting into there, then carrying food and or supplies and or even just like a roving medical wagon might be something to consider. Yes, because going undercover with the doctors has never been before been attempted. No spies have ever tried to get infiltrated place as pretending to be part of a doctor service.
The spies?
The other thing I was thinking of doing was maybe just wiring Van Dorn with, we're going into a place where people really, really want Ghost Rock, like really want it. Any advice to protect ourselves from this wanting it?
Ah, okay. I'm sure you guys have some kind of code phrases you use for odd stuff.
Yeah. So, I'll be sending something off to them just to say, they're pretty much that much of a telegram. So, they need suggestions.
And
dragons.
Those people, the people who are the newspaper writing people who we know, who are there in that place that we go to sometimes where there are things. They might know some more of this stuff. Yes.
Highly specific there. A place with those things, yes.
Yes, the newspaper people. You know who I mean. Yes? Yes? Or did I imagine them?
You imagined them.
The newspaper people. Okay.
Roll me a d10, giving the variance of how telegrams work.
Okay, do I want high or low? Well, it's a 7, I don't know if that's good or not.
Right, let's see how garbled that gets through. Alright, so you send off your telegrams, asking for any possible information, that sort of thing. Eddie, Chris, if you're still there and can hear us, give me an occult roll once Luke gives you the lowdown on what the guy said about the place producing this unnatural desire for Ghost Rock in the people around it.
Would Weemata have any knowledge of that sort of thing as well?
She doesn't really have a cult, but...
But I'm just sort of thinking she might have, like, tribal knowledge.
Yeah, tribal medicine. I mean, she might know something about...
That's just the spellcasting skill for her, really. Yeah,
pretty much. Let's see.
What's your spirit?
7. I can. There are certain fetishes that our warriors will sometimes wear to help them resist the fear that will unman them when we have to face such creatures that are not natural, when we must defend ourselves from them. I can make such fetishes. It will take me some hours to do, but I can. It may offer some protection.
She finishes take 1d20 minutes.
Yep.
So when she's sitting out, she's just really saying, I'm going to go cuckoo off for a while. So.
Well, no, she's assuming everyone wants one.
So, yeah. Might be something to try.
Yep. Is Chris with us at all? I don't know if he's...
Yeah, I'm here. It's just...
Okay. Okay, we'll roll for you then. Okay. See if Eddie knows anything about his on his occult. And he's got skills.
And skills.
A 5. Okay. So, Eddie, you can put a couple of things together. One, you know it's a burial spot. One, you were told in passing that it's the burial spot of a warrior that you know, his people were, you know, very much enraged, and there was war at the site. You know from research that sometimes spirits that die that way can impart an area with their you know, baser emotions, with the thing that they felt the most strongly when they died. So the desire for the Ghost Rock, you think maybe that's not actually what's happening, but the site's causing the people to fight over it, to cause strife. And that might be what you need to guard against. Now, whether it's the site that's just been kind of saturated in this and it's causing the problems, or if there's actually, you know, ghosts at work, you know stories of ghosts that can possess people. You've heard some stories about that. So you're not, you can't nail it right on the head exactly what's going on, but you've got some suspicions there as to what might be going on.
I'll talk to Weemata about it.
Right. Okay. So Weemata also knows of such legends when her people are not buried correctly, when the proper rites are not observed, sometimes the spirits come back. They're often tied to the location that they fell in battle, or the location they died. And sometimes they will haunt the area.
Didn't we talk about doing a correct ritual for the chap?
Yes, yes. But, you know,
I'll bring up to the group.
Yeah, Weemata will need to be at where his body is. She needs the body to be able to do the ceremony. And the ceremony will take some time, too. The ceremony is hours long.
Yeah, a pitched battle that we have to keep people off for hours. Woo!
And I'll need a drummer and a horn section and...
I will transform into a dragon and keep them all at bay.
That is the blood of a dragon sacrificed on the ground.
Also, we might be able to get aid from the 37th chip if we really need it.
Could be. This is where players and characters discuss how they want to do this, so the GM has an idea of how you're going to approach this next time.
I have absolutely no idea, because I didn't pick up most of what was said to Luke about what was going on there, I'm afraid.
Ah, okay.
I was going to listen back to it afterwards. I didn't expect.
Essentially, Luke was just told that one of the guys who apparently has a bit stronger of a constitution than his compatriots knows that he's being compelled to fight over this spot of land. And the further he gets from it, the more his mind clears of it. But even though he knows it, the closer he is, he can't really fight against
still
it.
Still does. Yeah. Right, I understood that bit. I just don't know what else we was said there that would be of use to us. I mean, we don't know anything about the terrain. We don't know.
He said the terrain was an area of plains that had broken rocks standing in odd formations, like they were, you know, jutting out of the ground, kind of almost gravity-defying. Take a look at some of the pictures of the Arizona mesas and how the rocks are formed.
Okay. Does anybody have any ideas at all for this?
Go in under cover of being either distributing food or supplies or medicine or just mobile help or something.
We can barely hear you, Chris.
No, I agree. Take the steam wagon. But no, that would probably make things worse.
Well, I'm always up for taking the steam wagon.
I think your microphone's dead, Chris. If you want to say something, type it into the window. We might be able to get it across easier that way. The steam wagon does not use coal. It uses ghost rock. That's the question that Chris had.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much everything in Deadlands uses ghost rock for that. That's how they get all of their fantastic weird tech.
They still have steamboats that use coal. It's just not as efficient because you need more of it. So, yeah, ghost rock has pretty much replaced coal because of that, but it's still used.
So, and are there any tribes or groups that live near there other than the prospectors and the railway people?
Wimitai had told you that the tribe that did live there was wiped out.
Wiped out, yeah. Okay, so it hasn't been resettled or anything.
Did she?
Yeah. I think Wimitai is the one who told you about the legend of...
Yeah, she certainly told us about the legend. I didn't know she'd said that they were all wiped out. Okay.
I mean, there are still tribes around, but no one claims the area because it's bad luck. It's, you know, it's an unlucky place.
Right, so if we venture into any of these places, then the others will attack us because of what is going on here, whatever that is. That is our problem.
Well, likely to attack us if they find us and take offense to us. Very easily they will. If we go into decent enough cover, we might give enough pause to sort of let their semi-rational minds just leave us alone.
And he says they should herd a bunch of jackalopes through so they get all the bad luck.
Well, so we cannot go and get the agreement from people because they will just go back on it because they are angry.
This might also be tied in with the Earth site in that area as well.
Well, I think as each site has a guardian, I think that the constant need for fighting here would act as a guardian. Nobody would be able to get close enough to it without being affected by this. So they would possibly turn on one another. I say,
eyeing my companions suspiciously.
Dragon turns on all of you and kills you in your sleep. Cats do that, you know. Yes, they do.
Indeed.
So Eddie suggests that, you know, the glyph is there. Let's just pack our bags and do what we need to do. We can cleanse the area when we get there. The problem being, as we're pointing out, that likely if they see you, they're going to stop you from going there because of the influence of whatever's going on. They won't let anyone get to it.
So, how far away is it?
He said a couple hours in that direction. You know, he cited it by the sun, saying if you head in the direction at noon and follow that trail.
But what we may have to do is go at night and go in stealth.
And you assume he meant by foot because nobody came, but there was no horses. I mean, there were a few horses carrying, you know, with a wagon, but no one rode horses up. So you figure 2 hours by foot.
Yeah, we could go in at night when there's more chance of getting through unnoticed.
Can we
go to deliver the supplies or whatever it is we have and accidentally break the steam wagon when we are near the thing?
I don't know how much Why? The supplies have been taken already.
Yeah.
Well, it would just be a reason to be in that area. If we broke down in that thing as we were crossing the place, then...
And he says, go at night by horses. We have two or three people who can see at night.
Really?
We do? Ooh. We have the glasses.
Yeah. And Eddie has shown the ability that he can uh-huh. see at night.
I don't think he's ever openly yes. stated it to anybody.
Ah, well, yeah, true enough.
Yeah.
Well, he is now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm used to operating in the dark, so...
Wouldn't it be the first night mission I've been on?
I do not want more details.
Well, it'll probably have to be not this night coming up, but the next night. We have to give Weimatai a chance to...
I have to suggest that the people will already be looking at night for this because they do not trust anyone. So having it makes no sense for them not to be looking.
I'm also going to point out that you haven't delivered any of the stuff yet, so you don't actually know how to set up. Yeah, no.
Right.
She arrived to town first so that you guys can have this discussion in case you wanted to do it all at once, you know?
I mean...
Yeah. But so you don't know how they're laid out. You don't know how close they are to the site, how close they are to each other, you know. So, yeah, there you go.
I think we should deliver these supplies then.
Oh, yeah, I'm done with that.
Lie of the lane.
I thought they might have come and grabbed the food and gone away again without us having to be able to take it in. But if we can take it out there, then fine.
Yeah.
You have time before nightfall, especially if you take the steam coach.
How many of us will go in the steam coach? There's three of us.
It's a full-size coach, so I mean, it'll hold six people inside and three up top. And
but Weimatai doesn't like it.
She can. I mean, she doesn't have anything that makes her not be able to. She just doesn't prefer it.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'm happy to take...
She'll go, and she'll just make sure she's ready before she dies, you know.
Depending on how I roll, I may kill all of us first.
I just wanted the one roll. I mean, you've got the hang of it now. You're okay.
You don't need to roll again.
Not unless you're trying to outrace something.
Or I'll need to roll stupid. Again.
All right. Driving stupid, then.
Yep. What's the point of driving if you can't drive stupid?
Drive safely so that we don't all die horribly.
I've got good skills at this. I put points into it and everything.
Roll and roll.
I also do not roll a one and I pass. Critical failure!
Have you rolled yet?
I haven't rolled anything, because are we doing this right this minute?
Did you go out there and scout the area?
Yeah, we're doing it right this second.
Why not?
Okay, let's go.
I'm sharing a map that I'm kind of just free-handing right now. Get a better one for later, just so you have an idea of what's going on.
I won't be driving stupidly. I'm thinking more we have to do a chase away from things as when I'll be driving stupidly during the chase scenes.
But that's when you would be driving stupidly.
Exactly.
Surely it's no fun to not be driving stupidly when you need to.
Okay. You guys see the map?
Yeah. We see some vague lines on it.
So you guys are coming in from this direction. This is where the arrow is here.
All right.
And so what you see is in the middle is a low mesa. It's maybe 20 feet, okay? And it's, you know, a mesa. It's jutting up from the ground flat on top. You see these all over the shattered coast. Well, this one's inland. On the top is large slabs of rock, rectangular almost, like they've been chiseled. And they're kind of laying against each other to form kind of a cairn. So you're guessing that's the burial site is on the top of this. Once again, not very tall, about 20 feet up to this rock cairn. Now, around it on these four other mesas that are nearby, these are much taller. Most of them are about 30, 40 feet up. And basically, each of the groups have made a camp at the base of each of these. And two of them, the one at the top left and this one at the bottom right, have cannon that they've put on top of the mesas.
Right.
And these two are flying flags. So over here, we've got the CS Confederate States, and over here, we've got United States. This one's flowing. This is Union Blue over here at the bottom left. And this one doesn't have black.
And I drop momentarily. And I'm back.
All right. I don't think you missed anything. So there you go. So they are surrounding it. The distances. This is about between... They're not quite equidistant, but there is about almost a mile between. But this is flat land, right? So you've got a great view, especially from the top of these mesas where they've got the artillery placements. They can see...
And so there's ghost rock in each of those mesas. Does it look like there's ghost rock in that central pillar?
I know that this...
Was that just where they got camped?
Well, who do you visit first, or where do you go? So you've got these encampments over here. I know where Eddie would not want to go first, which would be the Confederate side.
He can stay in the wagon if he really wants to.
True. Start at the top right and just go around it.
So the top right are the miners, and this is the guy that talked to you. Everybody make me spirit rolls.
Woo! I fail! I kill you all! Oh, no, I'm fine.
Hey, you're feeling pretty good.
And I've got... Oh, so I've got rheumatized sheet here.
I just rolled her, so she's fine.
Yeah, I've got it.
Everybody feels just on edge. Let's say, Eddie, you're closest to Sarah as you're driving. And since Eddie's sense of smell is heightened, even when he's not a wolf, it's slightly better than normal. It just bugs you that Sarah smells so bad. It's something that you're usually polite about. You don't make any, and she goes out of her way to actually, she goes out of her way to not necessarily perfume herself, but at least bathe frequently, etc. But she always has this scent about her. Just this, it smells like rotten meat almost. You're not sure if anyone else picks up on it, but it's really bugging you. Like, it's to the point where you're annoyed that you have to sit next to her and you snap at her every once in a while on the trip. Like, just answering very abruptly and being very tierce. And she's just annoying the piss out of you. Weimatai, just the whole time, she's just gripping onto her tomahawk and staring daggers at Luke. You can see the fires raging behind her eyes. Let's see. Luke, you made it. Yeah, you're feeling fine.
Yeah.
You're not a care in the world today for you. Young, you feel a little...
You also got a raise.
Yeah. You're understanding that the atmosphere is a bit charged. I mean, you can tell some of your friends are having... a few issues, and Luke, you're also picking up on the vibes as well, but you yourself are feeling fine. Chris, no, your character isn't shaken. It's just, it's just a role playing opportunity. I mean, it's just, Sarah's getting on your nerves and this is really, it's really bugging you. It's not something you're even really aware of on any real level. You're just like surly, a little irritated.
I see
Sarah got a four. Let's see. What's bugging Sarah? Sarah, you're hungry. You just keep wanting to dig your teeth into a nice, juicy piece of steak. Blood dripping down your mouth a little bit. And it just everyone's just inconsequential talk about certain death. Getting into the tomb. It's just shut up. Just everybody shut up. Now, you guys are all perfectly in control of each other. It's just this, you're not, like I said, you're not really aware that you're being this edgy. So anyway, yeah, that's how you guys are feeling as you roll into the first stop where the miners are. and you're greeted with 10 guys that are all kind of lined up with shotguns that are all kind of pointed at you as you're getting out of your scientific carriage.
I assume I see Lewis there.
Yes, yeah, he's there. He's there.
Hey, Lewis. Hi. I've got the food you guys organized. Yep, come on, food. You remember food, don't you? Come on. I'll get the food. Ooh,
he points a shotgun at you and says, just lay it down right there and back off. Just lay it right on the ground there.
Yeah, let's just lay it down and be on our way.
Right. Some of his guys kind of speak up and says, hey, Lewis, this is their first stop. Yeah? So what's to keep us from taking everyone else's food? Lewis, he looks at you, Luke, and points his shotgun in the vicinity of your head and says, y'all be going now.
Yeah, get out. Just move it, Luke.
Yeah, have we dropped the food off at this point, or?
We dropped their food off. Let's just bail to the next stop.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Anything you're trying to figure out or notice while you're in here, please state whatever you're trying to get, you know, information on. In general, his camp is probably 24 men, maybe a little bit less, 24, 25, somewhere in there. There's a few tents set up, so there could have been more inside, but you figure not more than a couple dozen. They seem to be shotguns. You don't see cannon like you did on the two big emplacements on the Mesa Tops. These guys seem to be less well-armed, but there's certainly a lot of shotguns to go around.
Yep. Well, so we're looking, as Eddie points out, to try and sort of see what's a good way to get to the Mesa and especially get up to where the burial site is.
Okay. Everybody give me notice rolls. Somebody roll for Eddie if Eddie can't roll. Chris, if you can roll, give it a try. We'll see. Yep.
Jeez.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Weimatai knows her people.
I'm just hungry. I'm not paying that much attention to anything.
It's not only that you're hungry, but everyone else is constant talking about things are just annoying. Actually, Eddie did roll. Sorry. Ignore that roll I made for Eddie then. All of you guys that made your rolls, notice that these guys do have, like a perimeter set up, and that you do catch a few spy glasses. So they're definitely keeping a really good eye, on that central portion there. And the mesa that they're next to, while they don't have any cannon mounted on top, they do have people up there watching. Of course, as far as you know, none of this stuff actually will help you see at night. But they do have eyes on the place.
Go ahead. And as we're moving about, we're trying to see what's a good way to get up to the Indian burial mound in the main central mesa.
It's a pretty sheer mesa, and I'm going to go say that you basically hit each of these places on a round. So like you just go around the top and around the bottom so you can see the whole place. There isn't any easy place to get up. It's not that tall, again, only about 20 feet, but it looks like you will have to climb it. There's no footpath that you can see. You're not exactly sure how those work pieces of stone made its way to the top, because they're certainly too big. For anyone to lift while climbing the top, maybe some kind of...
Oh, if only we knew of someone who had the ability to go up sheer cliffs.
Well, and carry several tons worth of rock at the same time. Of course, some engineering device could have been rigged, but, you don't expect the Native Americans that did this had that sort of... of course, they probably had basic block and tackle, but... Anyway, it...
Obviously, they caught upon a dragon.
I was going to suggest that it was a dragon dropping things from above.
Three of us are just dragons.
Given Chris's, or given Eddie's mood, he probably snapped it at you like some stupid dragon probably brought it up there.
That is indeed a good idea. Yes, perhaps it was a dragon.
You're met pretty much the same at each camp, although the Union Blue guys seem to keep it together a bit better. No one is talking about, you know, trying to steal everyone else's food. The guns.
Is that
aren't...
because we go to them last?
No, no, it's not.
Actually, we go to them second, I think, if I yeah,
second.
Oh.
They're much better armed. The camp is in much better, array and organization. This is being ran like a military unit. While guns are on display, no one's pointing guns right at you. Borgrad is the one who meets you. He seems to be mostly himself. I mean, you can tell that he's a bit more restrained and not very well at ease. And he's forced polite. You know, he's really forcing himself to try and be polite to you. A few of his men, are actually like, there's a small, like a stockade set up, where there's a couple of men that have been clamped down in it, and have been disciplined. Sure. Why you just kind of see this. So yeah, his guys are really well put together. His people are obviously well trained. They have an artillery piece on their mesa there, and once again, spyglasses and evidence. He has patrols as well. They don't go too close to the mesa. You see, whenever a group gets too close to the mesa, the other groups tend to send their own groups out. So no one gets very close without having a response from the other sides. And he has about the same, maybe a little bit more. He might have 30, 35 men here.
Okay.
And what was his name again?
Beauregard.
Right, I've got a plan.
The Confederates are also very regimental, although their guys are not as holding it together as well. I mean, you're tiercely thanked for what you've done, but you're asked to move along pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is you visited the miners first. Union Blue.
Anti-clockwise.
Oh, and the North, the U.S., the United States, also quite under control. They seem to have the fewest men, but the best arms. Their rifles are newer. They actually have a couple of repeating artillery pieces. Much like the one like you guys have gotten recently. And they have horses. You haven't seen too many horses in the other camps, mostly just nags used to pull wagons. These guys have a horse pen, well kept after. These are, you know, riding horses.
And they have not eaten.
Nope. But they seem to be the best supplied. Like they, you know, while you brought the food, they were interested in getting it, but they weren't like, you know, we want it right away. They're like, yeah, just leave it over there.
Okay, now, this is a science town, so they're probably going to have some kind of aerial transport.
Ah, do you look for it?
And I do have piloting.
Yes, I won't even have you roll for it. They have a gyrocopter.
Woo!
Yep.
Excellent.
It's broken down. It's under, you know, it's under a tarp, but you get a look at it when you're dropping off the food. They in fact do have one. I said these guys had much fewer men. You don't count more than like a, you know, dozen, maybe less.
I guess you're meeting in Elspeth Town.
But while you were thinking it, these guys have one.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, go ahead and give me a crafting roll. So while you get a look at
repair,
it.
Repair. There we go. No idea.
You know it's a chopper. That's all you get out of it. You just didn't get a good look.
How much longer are we playing tonight?
We're going to stop right after I give you guys some idea as to what you're up against.
Okay, I'll use the chip then. What the hell? So I still got a couple of chips. And that's better. There you go.
It's been dismantled, and there's obvious signs that it's taken artillery damage. So they've used it, and it's been shot down.
Right. So I'll just go at night. Night flying. I'm sure. Nah, there'll be no penalties, I'm sure.
Is there anything else you wanted to know about the area? Again, the mesa in the middle, 20 feet, and sides are pretty sheer. No obvious way to climb other than just to climb, like no stairs that you could see, nothing carved into the side to make it easier. Of course, you were, you know, like you weren't able to get all that close to it.
Yeah. Now, given that I'm closer, Do I have a better sense of where the glyph is, or is it just somewhere in this area?
Give me a spirit roll.
Well, spirit roll. I can't do that. No, I can't do that, apparently.
No other feeling other than the place looks right.
How's that?
I just had a chip. All right.
That's my last chip. So,
basically, you have a flashback once again to the scene that was shown you in your mind, and you see the Macy here. But you're seeing it a little differently. I mean, you guys are getting here almost at night. I mean, it's already starting to get dark.
Well, wasn't it at night when we got the scene? Because with the stars and everything, so it's heard up positions.
You're seeing it, in the dark of the night, in your eye. And in, you've got a feeling that it's below. It's like, it's in the middle of the mesa. Like below the surface of the ground. Like it's below. Like there is some way in there to get lower than where the mesa is. It's almost like a pulse, like a heartbeat, that's kind of calling to you.
From the middle, under the middle thing, or just in the general area?
From the right, down from the middle, underground, right below the mesa.
Down from the middle? Do you mean down?
Like smack in the middle of the mesa, but below ground.
Right. Okay, right. That's what I'm doing. Down can mean a few things when looking at a map.
Yep.
Right, so it's below that center pillar where the Indian burial ground is. So they're above and below. Let's see, they've got a digging mole machine, maybe.
I was thinking the same thing, but that is...
I'm sure you're the one to go in it, yeah.
Well, aside from that, I remember you talking about the last one that we went to where digging it up was a bad thing. Do you remember?
Because we thought they were actually going to just destroy it.
Exactly. We have no idea where it is under there.
Yeah, true.
You could drill through.
Accidentally destroy it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sometimes these things must be sacrificed for the greater good of driving a digging machine underground.
Just to say you have.
Of course.
Any other questions you would have thought to look for while you were out there?
Does Wimatai get any sort of general sense of the spirit of the land?
That's a good question. You still have control over? If so, go ahead and give me a tribal medicine roll.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good, I'd say.
Yeah. okay, yes. So she basically, at your last stop, she goes into kind of a trance and, inside your little cabin there, she burns some, it's not sage, but she burns some brush, so the inside of the cabin is going to smell pretty bad for a bit. goes into a kind of a trance, and...
Well, we've emptied all the food of it now, so that's fine.
yes, and she comes out of it, and she tells you that, yes, the spirits are uneasy here. They are restless. They have not been laid to sleep. They are vengeful. When she says that, she kind of smiles.
Can you lay them to rest?
She breaks out of it. It's like, vengeful. Yes, I can lay them to rest if I can, if you can give me time. The ceremonies are intricate. They take dancing and chanting that must be done properly. Cannot be done quickly, but I can put them to rest.
Where? Where can it be done?
It must be done. I need the bodies. Either at
the
site of where the bodies fell or the bodies themselves.
Right. None of us have geology, do we? No.
Well, what's your thought?
That these mesa things got pushed up out of the ground when the battle happened, pushed the burial site upwards rather than it was built up there. It got pushed up there afterwards.
Interesting thought. But as you say, you're not a geologist, so you don't know for sure.
I know, a cult guy, can that sort of thing happen? Best I've got.
Not quite. No, cultism is not a standard for geology, although,
it'd be
cool.
Well, no, isn't that sort of thing? Is that sort of thing a cult power possible?
It is possible through natural power.
Yeah. because that's another explanation for how it got up there. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm letting you guys
fish. Fingers stretching up from the ground.
I'm letting you guys fish for anything that you think might be of use. I've already imparted everything I have notes for, but if you come up with something interesting, I might be able to say, hey, yes, that is cool. That might be there.
No, the only other thing I can think of is that there is a way to get up to the cannons and disable them without being spotted by everyone around.
Well, they're all looking in, so that's not a bad idea, because no one's looking out. They're all looking in towards the middle. So it's unlikely that they would spare the men to patrol the outside.
Excellent.
So if you came in from around back, for instance, that might work.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'll let you guys think on this. I'm going to go ahead and... Oh, yes, and just to throw it out there for you, Sharon, that was one of the powers of your undeath is when supernatural critters that are killed around you, sometimes you, if you're in the area when they die, you count coup on them is what it's called. You pull some of their power into you, whether you want to or not. The jackalopes are actually the simplest critter in the book that actually has coup that could be counted on them. So I just threw that in there to, give a little bit more dimension to, what happens or can happen to you.
Okay. I can see Eddie and I might come to a little bit of an argument at some point.
The other thing that's cool about them is that when you fight them, you can't use chips. That's what they do. That's why they can be nasty when they attack in bulk. You can't use chips.
Not only that, it's that you can't use chips when they're around.
Yep.
Their usual tactic is to say, hey, I follow you around, and then wait until something bigger attacks you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't spend chips to reroll, you can't soak wounds. Yep. Yeah, pretty screwed. Yeah,
they were all aware you were there. We're going to follow you around, but then Eddie pitched a rock at him, so, yeah.
Eddie saved us! Woo! Yes.
And Wimitar's ability to tomahawk everyone to death.
Yes. Yeah.
Really good at killing rabbits. Yeah, just the rabbits.
Yeah. XP.
All right, well, 2 XP. Maybe 2. There was some
Bing! That's all we need. There. That's all we need.
Kept from being obliterated by Foo Fighters. That's always good.
That puts us at legendary.
Legendary.
Yep.
Okay. So that is
Same
as always.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you have access to the legendary edges, and we get another +1 grit because we have gone up a rank, and that's.
It also means you can increase another attribute.
Well, I've just taken my increased edge.
So our grit is going to be at 7 now.
Yours will be at 6.
No, mine was already at 6.
Then have you got an edge which increases your grit?
She's got +1 grit for being what she is.
Yes.
Right. Have you got an edge in addition to that which gives you +1 grit?
No, but you
then
said
you
our...
should only have 6.
You're 1 higher than everybody else. I think we did the math on you wrong before. You get +1 for being undead, not +2. That was the problem, I think.
Oh, no, my grit was already 5.
Right. How is the question. We should all have 1 grit for each rank we are. Legendary is the 5th rank. So everybody who has nothing modifying it has a grit of 5. If you have +1 for being undead... then that makes it a 6. If you've got something else on top of that, then you should have a 7.
Yeah, I believe I have something else on top of that. But I have
do have an edge, which changes it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have to... I'll double-check that, but it's either 6 or 7. Bert, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold my...
Oh, yeah, she has Brave. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's something
not
like that.
Grit, though, is it? I think it's just a +2.
It adds a +2 to... Guts is what it adds to, not grit, but guts.
Oh, isn't there? No, there's an edge true grit.
Yeah.
There is an edge which increases. That is true.
No.
Yeah.
So my grit
should be awesome.
No, I don't. So my grit should be a 6, not a 7 now.
Yes, but your guts should be +2 to whatever it was before. You basically, the Brave allows you to +2 to your fear test, and also if the setting uses guts, it adds to that as well. So another +2 to guts because we do use it in the setting.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, right. The fear test and the guts are the same thing.
Right, so...
I wonder why they worded it that way then.
Because it's saying, hey, sometimes you get... If it's using guts, it adds to your guts instead.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, if it's not a fear test, but just a guts test, you still get it.
Like, that's... for example, looking at a hideous woman called Goblin.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And that's, okay, that's the same as always. So that's two skills up to whatever, or one attribute, or a new edge.
Yeah. Yeah, or one skill.
Yeah. Or one new skill.
That's it.
Or for you,
legendary stuff now.
Remember, you also have edges for your being undead. You can take those as edges too, if you want
okay.
to start pulling more of those.
Okay.
I added luck to your list.
Okay, I saw that. So I'm going to make a note here that my epiphany card is dead now, right?
Yep.
Yep.
You had your shot of brilliance.
Okay, and I'm just going to make a note that. Need to add in new level. Which, Bert, if you don't mind turning on the server a couple minutes early, I'll do that at the beginning of the next session.
No problem.
Okay.
Chris, you're in the same boat as her. Your grit is one higher because you're not natural. so you will have 6 grit.
Dragon is 50 grit. He's a cat and doesn't care.
That's right. Cats have unlimited grit.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Say goodbye, everybody. So we can
probably. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamstealmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.